opportunity to give to the Easter offering, our special Easter offering, offering last Sunday morning. You can do that this morning or tonight if you like. We do have plenty of envelopes, and so ushers, if you see some back there on the foyer table, you may want to grab a few and just let the ushers know if you need one when the offering comes along, and then we can, again, we can receive that a bit later, or you can give it to one of the deacons ushers on the way out this morning. All right. You glad you came this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're thankful, God, that we can lean on you. We're not just saying that, but we know that. We mean that. You tell us in your word to do that. Lord, in life, we lean on a lot of things, a lot of things that are unstable, and we fall, and we crack, and we crumble. But God, when we lean on you, Lord, we're leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. And Father, we know that you can endow us with power, give us what we need, Lord, to continue on in this walk of life. And so, Father, we pray for all of these requests this morning. We pray for Christy. You touch her in a mighty way. Touch everybody on the prayer list. And God, in this specific service, we just pray for a special moving. Lord, how easy it is to come and yawn and look around, and same as always, things continue on. But Lord, things aren't always the same here. Things are changing here. We're trying to extend the ministry here and do things that make coming here a better experience. And Lord, you're always wanting to do something different in every single service. So help us, if we're trapped in that mindset, to crack it and to be done with it and to be expecting something from you today. Help us be like the blind man who had his cup out and who was asking for alms. Peter said, "Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus." God, give us something that we didn't even expect to get by thinking about coming this morning. Lord, give us more than we expected to get this morning. Help us be different and be changed and be challenged and be charged up for you, ready to go into this world, God. We love you. We thank you for the things that you have done, the things you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, that we may even be complaining of. But God, we know you're working, and thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to do. All these things we do humbly ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand. Choir, if you'll stand with me. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And again, Jesus is alive, and he's on the throne making intercession for you and I. And I just hope and pray this morning that we'll just take a little bit of time, and may our minds and our hearts be settled on Jesus this morning. Amen. He's the one that can save from sin. He's the one that can take a broken life and change it. There is truly something about that name. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Let's sing the whole thing again. Just worship him now. Something about that name. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. It's good singing this morning. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Choir, if you will, this evening, if you'll just meet me here about 4:30. 4:30 this afternoon, give you a little bit of a break. We're right around the corner from starting on some new songs. With that said, if you've been praying and thinking about becoming a part of the choir or coming back to the choir, it would be a great time. We'll meet this afternoon at 4:30, and next Sunday maybe we can go ahead and get started back and learning some new choir songs, and we're excited about that. So please come and be a part. Let me just say this morning, by the way of Facebook, we thank you for joining us. It's a great avenue. But if you've been thinking about coming on back to church in person, it'd be a great time to do so. Amen. I know there's a little pollen out there. There's a lot of things going on. But it'd be a great time for you to come back. We'd love to have you back in the house this morning. But I understand you're not here and you're joining us by way of Facebook. So for that, we thank you. It is a great avenue. We thank the Lord for it. But let me just say again that it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Please pray for Pastor this morning. We stand in need to hear from heaven. Amen. And this is the way the Lord has chosen to do that, through the man of God, the word of God. So let's pray that the power of God would fall on this place. When we leave, we'll be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord today. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Larry, would you take us, O Lord, this morning in a word of prayer? Thank you. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die, and his followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave, something is happening, and death screams, I've lost my hold, and angels rise in anticipation, for the sun is coming home, and there he comes, and he's got the blood that he shed on Calvary, and the Father says, well done, my son, this is the last blood I'll ever be.
Thank the Lord for the blood of the Lamb. And appreciate that. Good old song. If you have your Bibles this morning, please make your way to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Just a few moments, we're going to look at a verse number 42 through 46. 1 Kings 18, verse 42 through 46. In just a moment, I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And we will introduce the chapter, Lord willing, arrive to our thought we have this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the blood. That's not religious talk. That's reality talk. It took the perfect blood of the Son of God to atone for the sins of man. And Father, we're so thankful. God, as we get into the reading and teaching and preaching of your word, God, I just pray for a calm to be upon my own mind. Give me a clear head and a calm heart, Lord, a calm to be upon my mind and heart and the people's minds and heart. Lord, let us just be focused just for a few more minutes this morning so that we may really grab what you want to deliver this morning. We love you today, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Here in 1 Kings chapter number 18, of course, you can even go back and look in 1 Kings 17. And you'll find that Elijah had entered into a contest. That is, against the prophets of Baal. And the Bible even mentions the prophets of the groves. And the God that answered by fire that came down and consumed the sacrifice that would be presented upon the wood would be the God that would be worshipped. So we see that Elijah, in 1 Kings 18, had just called fire from heaven, securing this contest that he gave Ahab. Again, this contest consisted of 450 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, 400. So that's a total of 850 false prophets who claim that God, or that claim that Baal is God. Then, of course, Elijah, which represented the one true God, Jehovah God. I mentioned about the sacrifice being laid upon the wood and the God that answered by fire. We know that God answered the prayer of Elijah. And the fire failed, the Bible says, in verse 38 of 1 Kings 18. And consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And Elijah was outnumbered 850-1, yet God answered his prayer. Fire fell from Elijah's prayer. And now we get to verse number 41, and we see that Elijah rids himself of Ahab. In verse 41, the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So he rids himself of Ahab, tells him to go and eat. And again, Elijah having secured this contest. Elijah at one point had prophesied that there would be a drought in the land. God told him to tell Ahab that. And now Elijah was commanded by God to tell Ahab that it was going to rain. So we see that this rain is getting ready to come after this victory on top of Mount Carmel. So that's what's taking place here. Elijah wins the contest. He gets rid of Ahab. And I want to begin reading in verse number 42 down through verse number 46 and zero in on something in particular. Verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want to stop reading there. That's reading 1 Kings 18, verse 42, down through the end of the chapter, verse number 46. This morning, I want to call your attention, if I could, to verse number 43, where the Bible says, "And said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times." I'm interested this morning in this servant that Elijah had. Elijah sends his servant to look for any evidence of rain. He wanted him to look for any change in the forecast. He sent his servant up to the top of Mount Carmel from where they were up higher to look and see if anything different was happening. Eventually, his servant sees a cloud which brings the rain. This morning, I want to take that thought, that idea of this servant going up and down that mountain looking for rain. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, remaining hopeful when things look dreadful. Remaining hopeful when things look dreadful. Things were looking dreadful for this servant. If you could put yourself in his shoes, all the times that he had to go up to higher elevation, things were looking dreadful for him. As he was looking for the sign of change, the sign of rain that would be coming. And so he continuously looked for any sign of change. But then change did come eventually. There was a little cloud that brought a lot of rain. You might be here this morning looking for change to occur in your life. You want things to get better. You want things to change. You possibly might even want a little more out of life. Can I encourage you this morning through this story of this servant to remain hopeful when things look dreadful? God can and will turn the page in your life in His own particular timing. Don't turn there, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We just celebrated Easter Sunday last Sunday, and Jesus was dead and in the grave for 3 days. But on that third day, He rose from the grave. He rose again. All of hell, I'm sure, in my mind's eye, I'm thinking during those 3 days, all of hell was saying, "He is gone and it is over." But then He arose. Up from the grave He arose, triumphing victoriously over His foes. Jesus arose from the grave, although all of hell thought He would not and didn't want Him to. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Yet Jesus called him by name and raised him from the grave. You know the story of the sisters and how they were mourning his death. And Jesus didn't even come when one of them wanted to come. "Jesus, you weren't there. Jesus, why didn't you come?" And we know that account there. But at the right time, on that fourth day, Jesus raised him from the grave. When things looked dreadful, they remained hopeful. Karen Peck and New River have a song that says, "When he's 4 days late, he's still on time." And I want to say this morning, in your life, in my life, Things may be regular, routine, day in and day out. Things may look dreadful. You may want change to occur in your life. But I just say this morning, remain hopeful when things look dreadful. Things will change in your life. And so this morning, we want to look at some things here. As we just stated a moment ago, we all know that we serve an on-time God. And God does have a way of stepping out of the shadows and creating light in our circumstance. He knows how to turn our frown upside down. He knows how and when to move in our circumstances. Let us this morning remain hopeful when things look dreadful. I want to share with you three things about this servant of Elijah that remained hopeful when things looked dreadful. The first thing I want to mention is found in verse number 43, and we see the obedience of the servant. Look at verse 43. And said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." We see the obedience of the servant. Elijah told him to go and look. Go and look, servant. So this servant had to go up higher on this mountain and look. He had to do some climbing. He had to do some navigating to a certain spot so he could see the forecast. But also this servant had to come back down and give Elijah report. And so he went through everything he went to get to the top, only for it to be nothing. And then he had to navigate back down through that trail, that pathway, down to the prophet and say, "I'm sorry, Elijah, there was nothing." But you see, this servant was obedient to the words of God through the prophet of God. And my word to you this morning is simply this, that we ought to remain hopeful when things look dreadful. Sometimes we just have to be obedient even when things aren't changing and things aren't getting better. It's always the right thing to do to remain obedient to our Father. And so we see this morning this servant, and he was going up to the top of the mountain, and then he was descending back down to the spot where Elijah was, only to give report that he didn't see nothing. But he was this obedient servant. This is he. This he did out of obedience to Elijah, not having to tell him he sees no change, no evidence of rain, having to tell him that. God this morning is wanting and desiring His servants to be obedient to His word when things are going our way and things are not going our way in life. When we don't see any change of our season occurring, when we don't see things getting better and laying down like we would like for them to lay down and be better, God is wanting us to be obedient to Him and trust Him. And although things aren't changing, He wants us to continue to walk with Him and talk with Him. This is one of the biggest challenges in the Christian life, is to continue to serve God and be faithful to Him, although nothing is changing. There's a lot of empty pews this morning. And I'm not saying the reason why there's so many empty pews is because people quit serving God, but it is a little telling. I do know that some have went to other churches, and listen, some people moved away and things like that, and it's all around in all of the local churches. There are missing seats, people missing in seats, and people missing in pews. But could it be this morning, the reason why a lot are getting out of church and only watching on Facebook is because they have stopped being obedient during their circumstance that is not changing? I think that's true this morning. Now, there are a lot who can't be here. There are a lot who move. There are a lot who are going to different churches. There are a lot who are sick, and we thank God for Facebook and all the rest of it. But truth be known this morning, there's a lot of days, the daily grind and routines we have when there is nothing changing. There is no sign of anything getting better. Yet the call of God is upon our life to remain faithful, to keep coming to church, to keep being a blessing to one another, to keep serving our families, to keep working our jobs. Although nothing is changing, keep on serving. This servant would go up his own path, and no doubt there were boulders and rocks, and I'm sure he knew about every one of them. I'm sure he was starting to cut a path, and the grass was starting to wear him on this path and become a dirt path, if you would. Get to the top, and whew, man, this is a long climb. I'm sure I'm going to see a cloud. Nothing. Let me come on down this mountain. Elijah leans up. What do you see, son? I've been praying for change. Sorry, Elijah. I don't see anything. Nothing's changing. Go again. Go again. I just believe God told me there's going to be change coming. So just go again. Yes, sir. At that word, I'll go. He goes again. He's going up his familiar path, and he's going to the top. Nothing. No sign of rain. And over time, and listen, I'm reading between the lines here when I say this. The Bible don't say this. I'm saying this. Sometimes you got to read between the lines. There must have been a moment at least when he was going back and forth where he thought, well, I don't know if there's going to be any rain. And isn't that like us? A lot of the times when we're serving God and we're praying for the Lord to work and move and bless our families, bless our own walk. Lord, work this situation out. Lord, fix the family problem. God, fill the church, and we go and we go and we go. Sometimes there are times, I'll say there's times with this old boy, that I wonder, is rain coming? I wonder, is change really going to happen in my family? Is God really going to move this situation out of the way? Is God really going to part the waters? No doubt this man, this servant, must have been thinking that. That's just pure speculation this morning. And so he looks, and there's nothing. Elijah, what do you see, son? I've been praying. Servant, I've been praying. I'm sorry, nothing. But you see, at the end of the day, he was obedient. Whether there was a cloud or not, he kept going because that was the word from God to keep going. And this morning, your life may not be changing. You may want more out of life. You may want your family problems to get better. You may want to make up with a friend who has offended you. But God says, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be dismayed. Remain hopeful when things look dreadful and keep going. Keep going. It's the hardest part to do when things are the same. It's to keep going, Brother Johnny. When you have a lingering health problem that's not going away, and now you have a new problem, depression, because your health problem's not going away. And those things happen. And it's tough to have that same passion for life and zeal to keep going when things aren't changing. Again, it can be a number of things this morning. But at the end of the day, that is the call. Child of God, will you take heart this morning? Reach down in the reservoir of your heart where the grace of God is and keep going. Keep going. So this morning we see the obedience of the servant. Elijah said in verse number 3, go and look. Somebody may be thinking about quitting this morning. God is saying, go one more time. Somebody may be thinking about throwing in the towel. Somebody on Facebook might be thinking, what's the use to trouble the waters anymore? Nobody's changing. Nothing's happening. The word of God to you this morning is saying, keep going. Go and look. You don't see nothing. Go again. Hey, listen, you fumble, you falter, you fail, you get down, get back up and try again. There is no place to stop. It always try to keep going. The obedience of the servant. And said unto a servant, go up now and look. Go and look. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the obedience of the servant, Elijah told him to go and look, but the outlook that continued. Verse 43. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. Seven times. That's an emphatic statement. I want you just went once. Go seven more times. That's a total of eight times. And he did. And so he looked. There was nothing. Man of God says go seven times. And every time the servant went, it was the same outcome. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. Tra-la-la. Nothing, nothing. Same old, same old. Perhaps this servant is, as I said a moment ago, is beginning to cut out a personal path to the top of this mountain. He knows every rock in the dirt, every bush along the way. Every time he goes up, things look the same. No evidence of change. You remember Joseph when he was in prison. He was in prison. He was left in prison. For 2 long years, the butler did not remember him when he was released, but the butler forgot him. Joseph interpreted the dream. And I'm sure Joseph was well familiar with that prison. I'm pretty sure Joseph, in one part of it, said they put him in bondage. He was chained, and I know he was a trustee in prison. He was overlooking the other prisoners, helping out, but he was in bondage, in chains. I'm sure he knew what it was like to feel that cold steel on his wrist and his ankles. For 2 years, he knew what it was like to be chained up. For 2 years, he felt those shackles and chains. And to top it off, for this butler to forget him when he was supposed to remember him. Joseph knew what it was like to be forgotten about. Joseph knew what it was like to be lied on. Joseph knew what it was like to be in this cold, dark prison and feel the cold steel on his wrists and ankles. He was well familiar with his daily routine. The outlook did not look good for Joseph. Same thing with this servant that was marching up and down to the top of this mountain. He knew every rock, he knew every crevice, he knew everything, the pathway, he was well familiar. You're here today with this familiar, crucial pathway of yours, things you're dealing with day in and day out. It's a vicious routine, a vicious cycle, and you want things to change. You're well acclimated with the day in and day out grind. The outlook doesn't look good. That's what we're looking at here. You may be here this morning well familiar with your unchanging, dreadful routine. You may be thinking things will never change. Things will always be the same. This servant was told to go seven times. The outlook must have been dreadful. And so we see the outlook that continued. We see the obedience of the servant. And then let me mention one more thing. We see the outcome that was encouraging. the outcome that was encouraging. Verse number 43 and 44, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. So it was that outlook that continued. It was that obedient servant. But then we see the outcome that was encouraged in verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee now. Not. How about that? This was an outcome that was encouraging. The servant saw a little cloud. Can I say, when you've been in a vicious cycle, a routine that is disturbing day in and day out, day in and day out, you've been praying for help, you've been praying for God to move, nothing big has been changing, but something little starts changing. Praise the Lord this morning for little changes. We'll take those little changes. Hey, look, I got mountains I want God to remove, but God removes these little things. And listen, my heart is ready to rejoice over little movements of God. Everybody's always about, oh, God, we need God to do a big move. God can do a big move. God can move mountains. God can cause a revival and work through the hearts of His people. But I'm praying for God to do a little move. I'm praying for God to touch me a little bit. I'm praying for God to do at Calvary a little work. Because when He does these little things, big things come out of these little things. God is going to turn your happiness or your unhappiness to happiness. Just continue to be obedient to Him. Just continue to be obedient. Remaining hopeful when things look dreadful. There was a little cloud here. Out of the sea like a man's hand. And so the convo was different on the return of the seventh time, wasn't it? All right, I'm going. He said this. He said seven times. I want to tell him. That's all you said was seven times. And I'm done after seven. Hey, rock. Hey, bush. Hey, little insects. Hey, guys. Familiar pathway. Yeah, we know each other very well. I just don't think I want to. Whoa! I about gave up. I was getting ready to tell Elijah I was going to quit. But there's a little cloud. Skippity doo, hippity hey. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity doo dah, zippity hey. You know I got to be full of the Holy Ghost to do anything like that. Eli, servant, son, did you see anything? I did. I seen a little cloud like a man's hand. Elijah, praise the Lord. I knew He would come through. It was a matter of time. It was a testing of our faith. Go tell Ahab to load up and get down the hill. I hear the abundance of rain. Rain will come in your life, child of God. I'm telling you, fight the good fight of faith. Stay the course. Be obedient to Him. Grow not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. God knows I needed this message. And I want to tell you what, He worked in my heart. In between studying this, and partially getting upset with our Braves. Okay? Although they pulled it off. But God was working in my heart. Because church, listen. There are things in my walk of life that I want different. I'm not trying to sound spiritual. I'm being honest. I want to come right down here where you're at. Because this is common ground. There's things I want to be different in my life. There's things I want to be different in my child's life, Lily's life. There's things I want to be different in Christy's life, our life as a family unit. I want things to be different here. Things are going great here. We got a clear path. We know where we're going. But still, I can taste what much more we could have here. There's things I want to be different at Christy's job. There's things I want to be different at Lily's school. There's things I want to be different with people and friends and family I know. Things I've said, things people said to me that I war and wrestle with. I'm tired of warring and wrestling in my head with things. I want to be different. I want things to change. Is it just me that has all the problems? Or can you guys relate? Someone told me one time, well, Pastor, you can't show vulnerability behind the pulpit because your people won't look up to you. You know what I found? The more vulnerability I show, the more you thank me for it. Amen. We're all in this together, church. And I want to say there's times where we're just going and we're going and nothing's changing. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. Nothing's changing. Lord, I don't feel like going to church today, God, but I'm going because I know it's the right thing to do. Lord, in the back of my mind, I know you can show up and you can speak to me and you can do great and mighty things. Lord, it's Monday. They're not treating me right on the job. I'm not getting paid for what I should be getting paid for. But Lord, I got to make a living, so I'm going. It's Monday. Spring break's over and there's that drama at the schoolhouse and so-and-so said this on social media, and now I got to go see him on Monday morning. And Lord, I don't feel like going. I have insecurities and challenges and battles I'm facing, Lord. But what can I do? I'm going to go to school, Lord. I'm going to be obedient. All these area family gatherings and holidays come around. And Lord, we're going for this holiday. We're going to eat and surround each other with family. And there's all these problems. So-and-so's not there. So-and-so died. And I'm at odds with this one. And Lord, I don't want to go, but I need to go. God will give us grace to just keep going. Is it just me or does everybody here need some grace to keep going? God has been good to us. Yes, I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. But I'm still human and I'm on planet Earth. And I have a good feeling you're still human and you're on planet Earth. And the message this morning is to just remain hopeful when things look dreadful. So I believe there's a message here this morning about this servant. Elijah said, go up and look. And he did. 7 times. But on that last time, he's seen the little cloud. He's seen the little cloud. The conversation was different when he returned. What'd you see? I see a little cloud. Things are about to change. Rain is coming. What if the servant would have stopped at the 6th trip? He wouldn't have good news to report. Only those who continue with God, being obedient to His Word, trusting in Him, experiencing His ways and miraculous in life will have good news to report. Quitters don't experience encouraging outcomes. Continuers do. Quitters don't experience encouraging outcomes. Continuers do. Moses didn't give up when Pharaoh came after him, did he? But he trusted God and was encouraged when those waters were divided. Joshua didn't give up marching around Jericho, but trusting God and kept marching and was encouraged when those walls came tumbling down. Things may look dreadful in your life this morning. Circumstances may look like they're never going to change. But my word to you is just remain hopeful. Continue to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Continue on in spite of the circumstance and the surface view of things. God will strengthen your heart. He will encourage you. The Bible talks a couple different places. James 4:10, 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Your day of encouragement is coming soon. Your valley won't last forever. Your day when the Lord lifts the doom and the gloom and raises the sun in your life is coming soon. God's Word says it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The outcome that was encouraging, there's so many more details we could mention about this, but that's the message this morning about that servant that kept going. And as we stand to our feet this morning, we have a song prepared. Maybe you need to come this morning and do business with the Lord. Maybe you need to come and ask God just for strength and encouragement to keep going, because you feel like the servant that may be quitting. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You for the truth of Your Word. I pray in the next few moments You'll give liberty during this time of invitation, and I'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. If you need to come this morning, would you come and pray? That's why we're here. This is the moment of